This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. If you remain standing with me, please, and turn in your Bible to the book of Jonah, and it would be chapter 4. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then I'll let you sit down. Now, you know the story. Jonah's already been swallowed and spit up. Jonah's already gone into Nineveh and preached the gospel. And in verse 10, it says, of the previous chapter, it says, and God saw their works, they're repenting, and they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now we'll start in chapter 4, verse 1. But Jonah, here we are again. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord, and he said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and a merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, that each story, each parable, each verse in the Bible has purpose and meaning. And we pray, Lord, that as we move into this, our hearts will be in tune with what you want to say to us. Help us to receive from you, and I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint this message as it goes forth. Add your servant behind the cross. Once again, we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we know what happened to Jonah. He was in the belly of the fish, custom-made fish by God, busy being digested, at least his clothes and his hair and all that stuff, perhaps. And, 3 days later, the fish spit him out by God's command, and here's the fish on the, here's Jonah on the beach. Not exactly sunbathing. But he was certainly where God wanted him to be at that moment, because he prayed. He repented for not going to Nineveh. He had a sort of a surface revival in his own heart, but it wasn't in the heart, because we see it here as we look at it in chapter 4, starting with the verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Why was he angry? He was angry because Nineveh repented and God relented. You would think that if you're any kind of human being at all, you would be happy that 120,000 plus people were not going to be destroyed in 40 days. But not Jonah. Jonah was really upset. And why was Jonah upset? Because Jonah hated the Ninevites. Hate is a really, really powerful force. And it's not a force that comes from God, is it? God is hate, right? No, I misquoted that. God is love. That's what the Bible says. God is love. So Jonah hated the Ninevites, and God was trying to work with him. God loved the Ninevites. They were sinful people. They were evil. You think there's sin in the world today in the United States of America, and there is, and the worst of it probably isn't known. It's underground. But these Ninevites, I'll tell you one thing they did. You know, I've avoided saying anything about this because it's kind of gross, but they used to take their captors and they would put them on a stake. They didn't crucify them, they just put them on a stake. And then they would also fillet them and cut their skin off and stuff like that. So they were nasty, nasty kind of people. And so Jonah really kind of had a right to hate them. Who knows? Maybe he lost some of his family to these Ninevites, but God chose him. Isn't that just like God? He kind of has a sense of humor, doesn't he? He hated these Ninevites, and God chose him to go preach to the Ninevites so that they would repent, so that God wouldn't have to judge them, is exactly what Jonah wanted to happen. So here he is having a BA. Bad attitude. Now, we can look pretty good on the outside. Jonah was out there preaching to Nineveh. He was preaching, in 40 days you will be overthrown. That was the message. He was probably enjoying that. But he knew in his heart, he knew that God was going to forgive him if they repented, and he must have felt in his heart that they were going to repent, because that's why he ran, he says right here. And so he's arguing with God, and he says to God, "See, I was right." You ever do that with God? "See, God, you were wrong, I was right." Or maybe God wasn't wrong, but "See, God, now I have justification for what I did when I ran to Tarshish." When I tried to, didn't get very far. I have justification. So Jonah had some stuff to work out. You know, he had some stuff in there. And hate was one of those things. And that was what was motivating what he did. If you let hate grow in your life, it will get a hold of your life. And the decisions that you make in your life will be driven by hate and not by love. How many think that your life may turn out better if the things that you do in your life are driven by love rather than hate? Yeah, totally different results. So here's Jonah arguing with God. And you would think Jonah would be happy about that. Now, I want to read that again, verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord, and he said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know." Now, this is, Jonah says, "I know that you are gracious and merciful." Do I hear somebody say amen? "You are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." That's our God. Is that cool or what? I don't think any of you have been as evil as the people in Nineveh. And God loved them. You can't be too evil. So evil that God won't love you. He may judge you if you don't repent. Huh? Because God is not only love, he's also just. And the rules are. So, verse 3. "Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." He was so upset that he was challenging God, and he was saying, "I should just die on you, God." You would think, after he'd been in the belly of the fish, you know, we always say belly of the whale, but it was a fish of some kind. He'd been in the belly of the fish. He almost died there. He was rescued miraculously by God. And he went to the city, and he preached the message God gave him, and the whole city repented. You would think this guy would just be on top of the world. But he was missing it because of the hate that he had in his life. He was missing all that God was trying to do in his life. What a blessing that would have been if Jonah would have just said, "Wow, this is awesome. Look at all these people have come to God. This is just awesome. Or it's really awesome that I got out of that fish in one piece." In the Thanksgiving season, there's so many things we've been blessed, but what is it that we have a tendency to focus on? The thing that wasn't, that didn't happen, or the thing that we thought should happen, or the thing that maybe we didn't get, you know? Okay, so, "Therefore, now, Lord, please take from me..." He said, "It's better that I die. It's better that I die." So he is so wrapped up in the hate. Why don't we just flip over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. There's a couple of things that we want to look at here. This is Jesus speaking in the New Testament. Now, rules change. Jesus changed the rules from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He didn't change the rules. He expounded on the purpose of God more fully. So they really weren't changed. They were just fleshed out. And here's Jesus saying in verse 43 of chapter 5, Matthew, "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Now, why would he say that? because it was true. That's what they were taught. The Jewish people were taught that they were supposed to love each other but hate their enemies. Now, God was bringing a new revelation to them through Jesus Christ. The rules are changing. You no longer hate your enemies. We're going to get to that here in a second. But I want you to think about the Mideast. Think about the Arab people. Think about the Jewish people. All my lifetime, and way before that, and that's, you know, a long time, way before that, the Jews and the Arab countries have been fighting. Why is that? Because this is what they were taught. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. They're still doing it. Now, Jews that come to Christ then see this, and they realize the rules have changed, and they missed it. That Jesus had changed those rules that now you love. Let's read verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Okay, I got a deal here for you. Isn't that a powerful verse? I mean, that's called a change of rules. I got a dollar. No, it's in my... I don't have a dollar. I'll borrow it from Harlow. I got a dollar for anybody that can honestly raise their hand and say, this scripture is on my refrigerator. Harlow's digging his pocket. Maybe he doesn't have one either. But I wasn't too worried, Harlow. Let me read that to you again. I want you to think about putting this on your refrigerator, okay? Memorize it, because this is one of the best scriptures in the whole New Testament. But I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Right? And persecute you. Now, how many think that you just got all kinds of warm fuzzies for those kind of people? Not. Our natural instinct is to dislike people, if not hate them, if they treat us like that, because it is despicable for somebody to treat me that way. Right? But Jesus is saying you need to love them too. Well, this is some pretty tough stuff. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father. And why is that? Because God, that's the way God is. We see it all right back in the Old Testament when God forgave the Ninevites when they repented. Verse 45 again, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. That's a good one for farm country, right? For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Now, most of you know about the tax collectors back in Jesus' day. They were Jewish people who were hired by the Romans, who they were subservient to. The Jews were under the Roman rule. And so these Jewish people were collecting money for the Roman government from Jewish people, and the Jewish people hated the Roman government, and they really hated their own people taking tax money from them, and some of them, and most of them, were crooked anyway. They were taking more money than what they should be taking, so they were the scum of the earth to the Jews, the tax collectors. So Jesus picked out the tax collectors to make this illustration. He said the tax collectors love each other. That's about, you know, that's all they had was each other. Nobody else loved them. But the tax collectors would love each other. And he's saying, what better are you than the tax collectors if you only love the people that love you back? How many think that to these Jewish people, this was some, I bet some of them probably had to go home and lay down after this. For, verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Verse 47, and if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Or should I say, you should be perfect. We're still working on it, and I don't think any of us have arrived, but certainly if we love rather than hate, then we are far more like Jesus or far more like the Lord than if we hate. And I like it. You skip over to chapter 6 of Matthew and starting with verse 9, you're very familiar with this passage of Scripture. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Some versions say trespasses. When I say it in public, I never know how I'm supposed to say it. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And verse 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Verse 15, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. That's pretty hard stuff. I would guess that there's at least one person in this room today that has a hate on for somebody. Maybe nobody even knows about it but you. And I'm helping you out by reminding you once again that that doesn't fly with God. You need to get over it, and the Lord will help you do that. All right. So, where was I? So, I don't remember what verse I was on. Okay, I'll start on verse 4, and then when I catch up, I'll... Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city. Then he made himself a shelter, and he sat under it in the shade. Why was he there? The rest of that sentence tells us. Till he might see what would become of the city. You got it. Why was he even there? Because he somehow in his warped mind thought that because he was mad at God, God was going to change his mind and destroy the city because Jonah was having a cow. You cows of Bashan. So Jonah was sitting outside of the city waiting. He's going to wait the 40 days out. He wanted to see if maybe he had changed God's mind so if God would destroy the city. He just didn't get it. Poor guy. Well, I got good news, you know, and I tell you that before we get to the end, that Jonah finally got it because he wrote this. And he wrote it, and he was pretty frank about his bad attitude. So it must have been at some point, Jonah finally got it. Aren't you glad that he got it and wrote it down? How many would believe a story of a man being 3 days in the belly of a fish if it wasn't in the Word of God, and I know that it's true? You'd go, whatever. But if God can make a fish to swallow him, God can keep him alive there 3 days and all of this stuff. Nineveh is a real city. Matter of fact, the rubble is still there. They've been excavating it over the last few years. 6. And by the way, that was 60 years, give or minus, plus or minus, that it was destroyed. 60 years later, after Jonah pronounced judgment, they repented. They got 60 more years, and their kids must not have believed it. These old people are talking about some prophet that came out of the belly of a fish. Whatever. Can you see it? Whatever. Anyway, so 60 years later, they were overthrown by the Medes and a bunch of others. There was like 3 kingdoms came together and totally destroyed their city, and it's never been rebuilt. Verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a plant, and he made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head and deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Now we see a little crack in Jonah. He's grateful. He's happy. He's having his own little Thanksgiving service right there. Thank you, Lord, for this plant. This is so great. God was about to show him an illustrated sermon. You know what an illustrated sermon is? It's when there's, you know, props and things. It's like Jesus' parables. God was going to give Jonah an illustrated sermon. So he has this wonderful plant. You say, well, a plant can't grow up overnight. Well, if God makes it grow overnight, it can. Right? And they say there are some very rapid growing plants. Okay, but the morning dawned the next day, and God prepared, this is verse 7, God prepared a worm, and so that it so damaged the plant that it withered. Now, okay, we're listening here. Jonah's the only one that's not listening to God in this whole thing. I mean, the wind came up. That was God. The wind, the fish came and swallowed Jonah. That was God. The fish bit Jonah up. That was God. And now the plant grew. That was God saying, plant grow. Plant grew. And now the worm came. God said, worm eat the plant. Everybody's listening to God except Jonah. Do you know that God can still change the circumstances of nature around you if he wants to? He's the one who created it, for crying out loud. He can do whatever he wants, whatever he decides he wants to do. I have heard stories of farmers that have gone out in their field when the hail is coming and they've prayed to God and it stopped at the edge of their property. Now, I'm sorry if it didn't work for you one time. It doesn't always work that way, but I've heard those stories. But the morning dawned the next day, and the worm, verse 8, and it happened when the sun rose that God prepared a vehement east wind. Well, here's the wind again, listening to God. The wind's listening to God. Jonah's not listening to God, but Jonah is about to get an illustrated sermon here. And it happened that when the sun rose and God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he grew faint, and then he wished death on himself and said, now, I'm not making light of the fact that he was suicidal, okay? That's not a funny thing. But his attitude kind of is, right? Because we know that God is just using him in a mighty way. And he's not getting his way in the thing, and he's not happy about it. Then he wished death on himself, and he said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? That's the second time God asked him if it was right for you to be angry. Verse 4, God said, is it right for you to be angry? And he says, is it right for you to be angry about the plan? And he said, it is right for me to be angry even to death. God has a lot of patience, doesn't he? He must have just so much patience. You think about some of the stupid things you've done in your life. I'm not thinking of anything in particular, you know, but you maybe are. I mean, for me, I am, but not for you. We've all done some stupid things, and we go, ooh. You're a little worried about what God's reaction would be, but he is so patient with us. So he's having it. He's really having a fit. And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you've had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored, nor made it to grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern their right hand from their left, and much livestock? That's the God you serve. He was concerned about the city, and it was so evil, he was going to have to destroy it. The only way that they would not be destroyed is if they would repent, and he wouldn't have to do it anymore. And they did, and he didn't have to, and Jonah was upset about it. Romans, can you pull it over to Romans, Paul? Romans chapter 9 and verse 14. Let's go with verse 15, Romans chapter 9, 15. For he said to Moses, this is God speaking, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That's our God. Jonah thought God was wrong. He thought these people deserve to die. They don't deserve God's mercy. I think of a missionary, Elliot. Most of you know the story about Jim Elliot. He went to natives they killed people. And he went to them to preach the gospel, and they killed him. And later on, the one that was responsible for it became a Christian and began to preach the gospel. What an amazing story. He was willing to put his life in danger in order to win these unreached people to Christ. And he did. He died. Jonah, He wanted those unreached people to die. And sometimes I wonder if we're not a little bit more like Jonah than we are like Jim Elliot, because by our doing nothing, by our silence, you know what I'm saying. Thanksgiving season. And I'm going to close. But the Thanksgiving season coming up, one of the things I think would make Thanksgiving a lot better for you if you have unforgiveness in your heart, in your life, would be to deal with that, let the Lord deal with it. Because you really can't say you're really thankful to God when you're like Jonah and you're still holding a grudge against someone that God wants you to love. How can you say, God, I'm so thankful, when you're really not? Because you got this issue going on with God. Because you know God wants you to forgive that person, but you're refusing to do it. So you've got an issue with God, just kind of like Jonah did. You kind of need to take care of that. Because it can kill you. Really. So, I'd like to have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes as we close out the service this Thanksgiving week. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that would say, Pastor Ed, I have not given my life to Christ. And I don't even understand it all, but I would like to do that. I would like to yield my life to Christ because I realize that He is in control anyway. And rather than fighting Him, I would like to work with Him to make my life better. If that's you this morning, slip your hand up. I'll know who to pray for. I see that. Thanks, Luke. Put your hand down. Anybody else? Pastor, would you pray for me? All right. I'm going to quick pray for Luke before I ask you one more thing. Lord, I just thank you for Luke, and thank you, Lord, that he wants to make sure that he's right with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just draw him closer to you today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Perhaps there's someone here, too, that would say, I've got an attitude problem. My Thanksgiving isn't going to be as good as it could be if I don't take care of this attitude problem that I have. And it may be unforgiveness. Maybe a grudge of some kind. Maybe just somebody you just don't like. And you need to deal with that. You have to love them. You don't have to live with them. I mean, you'll like move in with them, that kind of stuff. But you kind of have to let that go. And the Lord will help you with that. So if that's you, maybe it's just an attitude problem, or maybe you got some unforgiveness going on. If that's you, slip your hand up. Thanksgiving season, good time. I see that hand. Put it down. I see that hand. Several people. I know that some of you had some really tough stuff. Really hard things. In the natural, you aren't going to be able to let go of it. But the Lord wouldn't ask you to do something He wouldn't help you to do. It's a supernatural thing, really. So I'm going to pray for you. I pray, Lord, that those that are dealing with an attitude, I pray, Lord, that you would help them. Lord, that they would see that you have their best interest in mind, and you have the best interest of the people around them in mind, too. So I pray, Lord, that you would help them to be able to have an attitude and a spirit more like yours. And Lord, for those that are holding some kind of unforgiveness or grudge in their life, I pray, Lord, that you would help them with that love that only you can give, that we can pass on. I pray, Lord, that you would help them be able to get a hold of that forgiveness for their own sake. For your word's pretty plain, pretty explicit about forgiveness. So I pray, Lord, that this would be a great Thanksgiving for each and every one because they're in harmony with the Lord's heart. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.